Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today, we're going to speak with somebody who has a different take on health. What we say means something, and it's very powerful. And I think we take this for granted. We use language in a way that's not helpful, that's hurtful. And overall, I think we're hurting ourselves. And today we're going to figure out how important the voice is in the foundation of health. Today we're going to speak with Ms. Mandara Cromwell. She's a doctor of cymatic medicine and president of Cyma Technologies. She's an entrepreneur who manufactures her own inventions. She was nominated for the Thomas Edison Award for Innovation in the fields of science and medicine in 2013. She coined the term cymatherapy in 2002, and it's also referred to as sound wave therapy. As a way of forwarding the field of vibrational medicine, Ms. Cromwell founded ISTA, the International Sound Therapy Association. In 2007, she produced the Atlanta Conference, Cymatics, the Art of Science of Making Sound Visible, which featured never-before-seen sound-made visible images of the healing frequencies found in her own sound therapy devices. And in 2019, she released her first book, Soundflower, The Journey to Marry Science and Spirit, which includes many stunning cymaglyph illustrations. And Ms. Cromwell, I'm looking forward to our conversations because before we started, I told you that one of the reasons I went into ENT was actually because of the voice. And for me, what got me really interested was actually opera. Just the fact that people could produce that beauty and power was fascinating to me. And that's what really led me down the path of becoming an ENT. And I'm happy that I did, as every day I love what I do. And listening to people and hearing their stories and helping them find their path to healing is one of the most fulfilling things that I've found in my practice. It's a pleasure to have you on because now we're going to talk about the science and really delve into what sound is. So thank you so much for your time. I know you're so busy, but I really appreciate you coming on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Dr. Elena George. It is ecstatic to my ears, or ecstasy to my ears, to hear that you were drawn into this field because of opera. A person, one of my mentors, he's no longer on the physical plane here, but he's also spent his life in medicine as an ENT. And that is the French physician, Dr. Alfred Tomatis. In the USA, we call him Tomatis. And there are Tomatis centers throughout the United States. But for those who don't know his story, I'd like to share just a little bit about it. He came from a musical family, musicians and opera singers. And one of the challenges that the opera singers were having as time would go by, they realized they couldn't reach the full octaves any longer. And it was Dr. Tomatis who discovered that you cannot sing a note that you can't hear. So he created the electronic ear. And this was a marvelous invention and really extended the professional life of many opera singers because it trained them to hear the sounds, the notes that they could no longer make. So Dr. Tomatis did a lot of research with different types of sounds and music. One of the primary bodies of work that he contributed to our field of sound and music is that he found that different people responded to different types of music. But there are two types of music that all throughout the world met everyone with joy, with calm. And those types, two types of music were the music of Mozart and Gregorian chant. And so you're talking about singing and using the voice. Gregorian chant was used for hundreds of years. Well, it's still used today. And it has amazing healing properties. As a matter of fact, Dr. Tomatis called Gregorian chant fantastic energy food. anyway, so that's... I just wanted to share that that is such an amazing thing that you you came into your field because of the sound of the voice. And, you know, I'd like to also comment that using the voice for sound healing has been around since the beginning of time. And sacred sound healing, we'll call it, is really the beginning of most cultures. In, you know, most cultures have myths of creation of some sonorous event. Mm-hmm. And in our Western world, we have the Bible where the Lord said, let there be light. And so the spoken word is so powerful. And just our tradition that we've incorporated throughout history of pausing before we have a meal to give thanks and to invoke the divine vibration into the food that we're about to receive. So the spoken word and sacred sound go hand in hand from the beginning of time.
I think you're absolutely right. And I don't think it's just us, is it? I mean, looking at the animal kingdom, specifically cats, when they purr, for example, that vibration is healing to them. It has a lot of different meanings, but one is to help themselves heal. So if we're all electric beings, you know, our cells vibrate, we're batteries essentially, then either you can increase the energy and order, or you can work it the opposite way. Is that a good way to see it?
That's a great way to see it. And as a matter of fact, Dr. Tomatis, he said, there's a very simple measure that each of us can do when we're trying to figure out if this particular sound is for us. And he would say, just ask yourself, is this sound giving you energy or is it depleting your energy? And that is a great, great barometer I present to a lot of audiences, and never fails that someone, a parent, will raise their hand and say, what can I do about my child's music? And so I always use Dr. Tomatis's words of wisdom that, you know, as long as the child, you know, ask the child, do you feel like this is making you feel good or making you charged with energy, or is it depleting your energy? And so that's a good barometer.
It's amazing how something so subtle has so much power. You know, I recently learned the difference between the frequencies and you know, how people, the music industry, for example, has changed the hertz from what was a 432 to a different frequency. And that has a different power compared to what the Schumann resonance and that sort of thing. Maybe we can go into that a little bit. I'm not sure people know exactly what that is. I know we're going to take a break, but can we just start that conversation? Does that really count? Does it matter if something is in alignment with our core versus something that's not?
It's very important. And that particular tuning is set for symphonies so that when they all come together, they know that piece of music. But there is a difference when people hear a symphony based in 432 versus 440. And it just really sort of depends on, you know, your vibratory rate, where you are. I mean, there are many things that come into play. You know, an interesting thing is in India, when they get together to tune their instruments, they tune it to the voice of the singer, the person who will be singing the song. is the that's the sound that all of the instruments are tuned to. And so now I'm going to skip over to the Schumann resonance, which has a relationship with the sounds that we make in our music. But some people put a little more credence there than others. Mm-hmm. And truly, it is an experience. It will need to have your, personal experience for this. So the Schumann resonance is that sound, that cosmic hum of the earth. And so this is a combination of the magnetic and electrical fields that are within our sphere. And that Schumann resonance is very calming for us. And it's the same when we listen to certain types of music in a certain note or a certain key. Some of it is very excitable and some of it is more calming. Again, the clue, each of us, you don't have to know anything musical. You don't have to know anything scientific. All you have to do is register within yourself. How does that sound feel to you? And if it's causing you some anxiety, then that would not be, the best sound for you.
I think more people need to take a step back. We're so distracted, don't you think, with so many things coming from outside in. I don't think people are able to listen to that inner voice of this makes me feel good or this doesn't make me feel good. If people would, I think, take the time to do that, I think that would be a really good start towards getting rid of things like anxiety, things that are outside of yourself that you somehow internalize that is not in alignment with you as a person, your cells, and your health. So on that note, let's take our first break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Mandara Cromwell. She's the CEO of Cyma Technologies. And you can go to her Facebook page, International Sound Therapy Association, and learn more about what they do and also find out more about her summits. And before the break, we were talking about the power of sound and energy. Let's talk about, because I'm a doctor and I'm interested in healing patients. There's something called vibrational medicine. What is that for our listeners?
Vibrational and any energy medicine is coming more and more to the forefront of our consciousness these days. And again, this is something that's been around for thousands of years, where we're very sensitive to the vibrations in our environment. And as you were just speaking about the overstimulation, sometimes people can't hear their own inner voice because there is so much going on from the exterior. And we have to remember how to connect with the interior so we can really get a good reading at our own inner self. And the vibrational and energy medicine has been around. We can look at the history in the archaeoacoustical field, where people built certain temples, churches, or caves that had a type of resonance. These temples and churches are built on specific mathematical logarithms where the columns, the arcs, the domes are in a specific configuration that reflect back the sounds so that when we go into these structures and we sing or we hear the choir singing, it really fills that whole cavity of the church or temple, but it also fills our cavity, our inner torso, our head, and just feel this type of light, soothing, gentle massage within. Just recently, I was speaking with someone who had taken her family on a pilgrimage. And in the south of France, there are beautiful churches. And she took them into this one particular church, and the organist was there rehearsing for an upcoming service. And she said three of her family members broke into tears at the beauty of that resonance. So it's this vibration that is in our field that has been around for thousands of years, but now in today, in our modern Western world, we're beginning to remember, or we're surfacing these types of vibrational healing that have been, in my case, we've made them into devices to help people remember their inner song. Kind of like Dr. Tomatis found that people, that the opera singers couldn't sing the notes that they could no longer hear. When disease comes in, when we're disturbed, whether it be physically or emotionally, we forget our inner tuning. And when we calm down, when we put ourselves in a particular vibrational state, our physical body, our mental, our emotional body start to calm down, and we begin to approach that place where we call it the zero point or the reset point. And this is really the point where a healing will ignite.
So when are you get to that point, physiologically, does that also mean that your heart rate drops, that your anxiety levels drop from a clinical standpoint, that you rebalance and center? Because it seems like everybody's, especially now in this day and age that we're living in, any stimulation that's coming from media, for example, there's nothing positive. It's just constant droning on about what's bad. And I can see the disorder coming from that. From a clinical standpoint, are you saying that somebody really just is able to exhale, let this stuff go, push it out, and basically get a sense of reality? I don't know how folks do it. They listen to this stuff and it's constant how bad everything is and how bad you are. I can't imagine being in that state physiologically. That must be just a horrific place to be, because you just never seem like there's an end point, or what can you do to basically shove that off? And this sounds to me, and I've personally experienced it, where you go into this state of nothingness, and then when you come back, you just feel energized and recharged and ready to go. Is that how what you're saying really happens?
That is what happens. And when we deal with people who come to us who have very significant health challenges, we ask them if they will disconnect from the toxic news. Because, you know, toxicity, as a doctor, you know, we deal with toxicity on, you know, on the inside. But there's a toxic environment that we live in. And part of this environment is definitely the news. I have a deal with my family that I say, you know, at the dinner table, we don't talk about politics. We don't talk about what's going on in the world as far as any pandemic or fearful, whatever. Let's talk about positive things and things that we're learning and developing within ourselves. What's a personal experience where you grew today, where you possibly felt compassion or love for another human or an animal? Because the toxic environment keeps us in a state of anxiety. And in some cases, it's downright depressing. Mm-hmm. And this keeps us from our full healing potential. We do have the items that we use in my sound research. We use heart rate variability. We use the EEG and the EKG, and we also use thermal imaging. You know, of course, that wonderful saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. When somebody can see the inflammation in their body dissipate with the sound within just 30 minutes, that is a tremendous boost, because as we know, our thoughts have tremendous power. And if we see ourselves well, if we see our body coming, you know, to arising to the occasion of restoration and rejuvenation, when we really join the team and become the captain of our ship, our body responds rather quickly. And turning off the news and not speaking of things that in my day, we called it, don't be a downer. Don't bring me down. Don't let's, and that's why singing or humming or whistling, listening to the music that makes you feel upbeat, the music that puts a little pep in your step, that's the key to embracing sound and vibrational healing at a very personal level.
You know, what strikes me from what you just said is the power of you, of the individual, to take control of their physiology and their mindset. It doesn't come from without, does it? It comes from within. And how you empower that strength, and no one can take it from you. It doesn't matter what's going on outside, because you always have that ability, from what you're telling me, to recreate this power, to reignite this source. Is that how you think about it?
Exactly. You are the captain of your ship. And, you know, if you are feeling depleted, then you need to make a list. And I always tell people, when you're feeling good, this is the time to make your list of all the things that you like to have around you when you're not feeling so well. Because when we're not well, our prefrontal cortex goes to lunch and we can't even remember anything that ever made us feel good in our whole life. Right?
Yeah.
So make your list of things that make you feel good. You are the person in charge. Now, if you find yourself in a place where you're totally depleted and you need help, that's where we use very specific sounds that are a very targeted approach. We use specific sound frequencies to bring you back into tune, sort of reset all of the systems and get you going off in the right direction.
So with sound, energetically, I guess, boot things like your sympathetic system, your parasympathetic system, the things that either calm you, excite you, and rebalance them. Because it's about imbalance, isn't it? Disease, either one system is on too much, the other one's not, or vice versa. And then it leads to these dominoes that fall and lead to disease. That's from a medical standpoint, that's how I see things when I'm trying to reset patients. Is that what sound either can or cannot do?
Sound can absolutely do that. And I have seen it with my own eyes. I have seen a group of people who have come together in a depression support group, where we have done just three simple steps. And I'll lead you through them right now. They are so simple. If you just close your eyes and take in a deep breath, and then exhale, take in another deep breath and raise your shoulders all the way up to your ears as you're inhaling. And then exhale with a big letting it out. This gets things moving. Then come down and focus on your heart. And I ask people to actually place their hands over their heart. Be in touch with this anchor. Take in another deep breath and exhale. Let it release. Do each of these steps three times. And then in the end, as you're there holding your heart in silence, think of something that you are grateful for. And if you can't think of just one thing, five things flood into your mind. Great. Be grateful for all of those things that come into your mind. With this simple action, Dr. George, this releases endorphins. Hmm. This increases nitric oxide. And it puts a fresh reset, just for a few moments at least, until somebody disturbs you. but it will keep you going for quite a while.
I mean, that just seems totally easy, being self-aware. And maybe that's what we all need to start doing. On that last note, let's take our second break. You're Living in the Solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Mandara Cromwell. She's the CEO of Cyma Technologies. And you gave a wonderful primer on how people can literally unhook themselves from this anxiety, this track that we all seem to be on. It's very straightforward. I did it as you were speaking, and I just felt just energized and centered. And I think if we all get off this fear train, because it's driving us to be not very human anymore. It's about being selfish. It's about being fearful. It's about superimposing your will on people, whether it's appropriate to do so or not. And I think if people actually felt good again about themselves, not about control of other people, but about what they can control in within themselves, maybe we wouldn't be in this situation that we find ourselves in, you know, definitely in our country, and I would say globally at this point, frankly. So from another step into the clinical question of how sound can heal, you mentioned us, but what about things like using instruments, tuning forks, gongs? Even is it possible to do it digitally, or does it have to be a natural sound?
You know, it's different for everyone. Most of the people that we deal with like the more natural sounds. If you have, if you can walk in nature and absorb all the wonderful green, the songs of the birds, just pay attention to what sounds of nature you're hearing. Those are very calming to us. And if you find certain types of music that produce a relaxation effect for you, stick to those types of music. I have a dear friend, Dr. John Boyu, who is, we call him the grandfather of today's tuning forks. And he uses a C and a G, a note of a C and a G, tuning forks. And this creates the perfect fifth. And so if you really want to get a little gadget or two, his website, I can tell you in just a moment, but he just takes the tuning forks and kind of hits them lightly on his thighs, and you just hold them for a minute next to your ears, and you could actually hum the tune or tone that you hear with those two forks emanating. All you have to do is for 1 minute, and this resets your autonomic nervous system. And I might also tell everyone that we're talking about simple techniques that don't cost anything that you have with you all the time is humming. Humming has been known to calm babies. It calms ourselves when you're walking along and you're humming, or you're in your house doing little chores and you're humming a tune. This releases nitric oxide. This helps to reset the autonomic nervous system. Just these little techniques are so valuable, and we don't give ourselves enough credit that we can really have an impact. We think that we need to go have some big procedure. Mm-hmm. And now in my research, I will tell you a little bit the benefits of releasing, using sound to release pain to benefit all levels of your being. Pain is a very interesting category in our medicine today. And if people are experiencing pain for more than 90 days, they are then classified as someone who's in the category of chronic pain. And this chronic pain is a cycle, and sometimes it's very difficult to interrupt. And so I want to tell you the story of a woman who came to me when I was doing a particular type of research on pain. And this woman is a cancer survivor. And she had a bilateral mastectomy. When they did the reconstruction, one of the breasts was stapled to the chest wall in a way that it caused her pain. And so she came to me. She was in remission. She just had this pain. She was trying to see if there might be a way that she wouldn't have to undergo surgery to move that staple. And so as I was looking at her intake form, we always look to see if there have been any big events in their lives. And of course, having cancer and a bilateral mastectomy was quite a big impact on her life. And I asked her how she was doing with that. And she said she felt really good about that she had sought out support groups and had processed a lot of emotional pain and grief, and had gotten in touch with some what she felt was recessed pain from a former time in her life. So if anything, at this time, she was just dealing with the physical pain. And in her business life, her professional life, she was an artist. Maybe she was experiencing a little artist block. So I said, okay, so we set with this 30-minute protocol of a series of frequencies. Now, the frequencies that I work with are specific sound frequencies that consist of five frequencies simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And I layer them in a specific way. And in this particular case, they were layered for pain relief. So after the 30-minute session, she left and I asked her if she would please get back with me. Either she could call me or email me and just let me know how she was doing over the course of the next 24 hours. And I didn't hear anything from her for 3 days. Finally, on the third day, I called her and I reached her. She answered the phone and I said, I was just calling to see how you're doing. And she said, I want to tell you about that sound. After I left you, I went directly to my artist studio. I did not feel any pain at all, and I have been painting for 3 days straight. I have painted my whole fall collection. I hope that you'll come to the opening. And of course, I was ecstatic to hear that, that news. But let's look at this, Dr. George. When people are not in pain, it frees up a vacuum. And in this particular person, it was a vacuum of creativity. How creative, how happy can we be in our lives when we are not experiencing pain? Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, we need to turn our compassion to all of the people in our lives who are experiencing pain, because pain can make us very cranky and irritable. Now, I want to put one final postscript on this story with this artist. I did go to her opening, and what I saw were paintings of the Buddha. Now, I asked her, I said, oh, are you a Buddhist, or, you know, do you have an affinity to the Buddha? And she said, no. She said, I have never paid attention to the Buddha. I am not Buddhist, but this just came to me and I had to go with it. I've never painted anything like this before.
Wow.
So, again, let's look at this from the perspective of a clinical observation. We had a person who was in pain. They were freed of that pain, and that released creativity. And it seems that it released creativity of a spiritual nature. Now, I haven't really kept up with this person, but I thought it was just a very, very interesting story of how when the pain is released and we are called to a spiritual connection of sorts.
That's what we are, right? We're spiritual beings. If we're able to let go all the baggage, that's what we distill to. And if we can connect with that, I think that's the ultimate goal, and bliss. And I think it helps us connect with ourselves and with each other on a more fundamental level, not what you look like, not what you think, not how you dress, but how you are from a spirit standpoint. I mean, that's an amazing story. All those layers that you were able to unlock, it's like you've opened that channel of creativity. Imagine if everybody could do that. And they can, right? It's not like it's something that everybody is able to do if they take a step back and do what, this is like a cellular issue, right? It's a biological thing almost, that you don't have to be taught. You just have to release it and experience it and accept it. That's how I see it.
Absolutely. And if we look at the body and its cycles, you know, we wake up in the morning with the sun and we go to bed at night with the sun. but we honor these cycles. It's when we try to change these cycles that we create stagnation or a constriction within the body. Mm-hmm. And whether it be physical or, you know, with a physical injury, or whether it be an emotional, and it could be something we're not even conscious of, that we've been hanging on to, that we've stuffed for decades, that wants to come out. And when we release and we allow the cycle to come forth, when our cells get back into the dance, once again, it's joyous. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just going to go right to the opera where there is the song of beauty. They say beauty is the first estate of God. And when we are in beauty, whether it be the beauty of a song, the beauty of a play, the beauty of nature, this is true healing. Yes, it's true. Sometimes we might need to incorporate a facilitator. You know, we might need to go to a doctor, right? Mm-hmm. We might need to have a device that kind of helps push us in the right way. We might need to have a support team of people who love and champion us to help us along this way. But our true nature, as you so beautifully stated, is a spiritual nature, a nature of beauty, calm, and joy.
I couldn't have said it better. Let's take our last break, because I really want to go over what all the creations that you have through your company to help people, doctors and other practitioners, be able to help patients. So let's take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Cromwell, and people need to go to her website, Cyma, C-Y-M-A, technologies.com. And there you can read more about her, her products, her book, everything. It's kind of a one-stop shop, and people need to do that. And I'd like to go over some of the devices that you've created, because there's ways to do this in a more, for lack of a better way to put it, a standardized fashion. And as I was telling you before we started, I actually experienced one of the AMI machines that you can put your foot on, and it gives, I guess it was vibration or frequencies. But after I finished that session, I felt like I'd gone on vacation. I was only there for an hour, and I felt like, man, I feel like amazing. So tell us how you're not just an entrepreneur, you're a creator. What are some of the things that people need to know about that you created?
Well, I've created a few different devices, but the most popular one is the one that you're referring to, is the AMI 750. And so my background is in Ayurveda and Chinese medicine. And so when we were talking about vibrational medicine, there are certain pathways within the body that are very vibrational, and they are kind of the interface between the physical and the energetic worlds that we live in. And so the device AMI stands for acoustic, because it's acoustic sound. It uses the meridian pathways, and the body has its innate intelligence that takes the sound where it needs to be. And I discovered this in a very interesting way that I'll share with you quickly. I had a gentleman come to me, an older gentleman who had stubbed his toe, and his wife was with him. And she said, well, it's, you know, now gotten a little bit of out of hand. He's just 3 days have gone by, and it's just really not very good. And so we put him on the AMI 750, and he said, well, I don't feel this in my feet at all, but mm-hmm. I feel it in my shoulder. And so his wife asked him, well, what happened to your shoulder? And he said, well, 40 years ago, when I was in the military, I jumped off of a truck and I hurt my shoulder. And he said, now I feel it in my knee. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, did you do something to your knee? And he said, well, yes, 20 years ago, I was in a ski accident. And finally, towards the end of the session, he could feel the sound in his stubbed toe. Wow. And so this is an interesting thing. Now, I've observed this in many patients where the sound travels, sort of unraveling those areas of constriction and stagnation that need to be tended to, that have been, you know, tied up in knots for, in his case, decades. So this is one, after seeing multiple patients with experiences like this, it came to me that this is truly acoustic meridian intelligence. And people can sit in a chair comfortably and rest their feet on this device. And, you know, we like for people to close their eyes and really go within and take in the healing sounds that are being emitted transdermally. And so the session is of exponential benefit when you do that. We ask people to, you know, disconnect from their their phone, their texting. If, you know, they're in a place where there's a television, if they could just tune that out and really have that special time for you. Because again, you're the one in charge, and you're the one who's using your precious time to imbibe these wonderful sound frequencies. And I have on my website, you're welcome to go there and see lots of thermal images of inflammation, dissemination. It just disappears within a matter of minutes. And, you know, chronic inflammation is one of those underlying causes of, you know, keeping things in a chronic cycle. It's associated with all of the degenerative diseases that are in our patient population today. So to help with inflammation is a really key footprint right away. But for the other products that are on my website, what I've done with these healing sounds, Dr. George, mm-hmm. is I've made some of them visible. So we didn't have this technology until not long ago where we can actually make sound visible. And this is called the science of cymatics. And I have taken these images of healing sounds and put them into visual meditations. And most of these meditations are just 5 to 7 minutes where if people want to have a quick decompression time at their work. We have a lot of people who've reported who they just kind of go into their office and shut the door and turn on one of these visual meditations with the sound for just 5 minutes. And again, it kind of resets for the whole next hour or two. Wow. Particularly for those people who are in very stressful jobs.
Like we all are, right? At this
like
point.
We all are, yes. But now listen, don't forget how you can use your own breath and your own humming yourself. But sometimes people, they want to have a little extra help, and the sound made visible images are beautiful, and people tell us that they get lost in them, mm-hmm. and they feel a recognition somewhere within themselves of these images. So I would venture to say that these images have been around for thousands of years, and we're just now recognizing them in our environment.
Well, from what you're describing, it seems to me it's like a sacred geometry or the solfeggio frequencies. I mean, it's just perfection that you've managed to encapsulate visually as sound does. You know, that's what it seems that, to me. That's how I take it. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes. It is the sacredness. And, you know, it's that sacred spot that we're all led to, which is the true spot of healing, mm-hmm. the true portal where we enter and really experience our own vibrational physiology, our own vibrational psychology, mm-hmm. our own vibrational spirituality.
Wow, that was beautifully said. And again, from a science standpoint, you can see that, knowing that every cell has they vibrate at different frequencies. The liver will vibrate different than the lung, will vibrate differently than the brain. And they all need to be in concert with each other for you to have health. And this is just a different way of getting there. I think an organic way of healing, frankly. It's not about something outside you, something that you take. It's something that's within that you harness and then unleash. Different mindset, isn't it?
It is. It is. People need to know that they have the power within.
Yeah. In every aspect. But you know, you only have your health, right? So you cannot make changes without your body being able to help you, in order to support you, in order to have the energy to do it. So it comes down to this level. This is the smallest level that needs to work, I think, in order for us to make changes in our health, in our bodies, in our society, because it really comes down to each individual, doesn't it?
It does. And really just go with the group that sings your song. Don't listen to those, the people who are spewing out the toxicity.
Exactly.
Go to the beautiful, listen to an amazing opera or a tremendous symphony or whatever makes your heart sing. Surround yourself with that sound.
That's living, I think. When you can get up and you can feel good, have that energy, feel bliss. It really is. That's, everybody deserves that. They don't deserve to live in a state of fear and loathing and self-hatred and whatever else they're trying to pawn off on us. I absolutely agree with you. And I know we don't have a lot of time left, but I want to make sure people know where to go. I mean, you do have, people can go and learn. You have, oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank on the word. But people can go to teach as well, correct? That people can go and learn and go to conferences and that sort of thing, right?
We do. Well, since the COVID pandemic, we do everything online now. But please do visit the website at Cyma Technologies. That's CYMA. TECHNOLOGIES.com. And just drop me a word there to say that you listen to this interview. I'd love to hear from you. Love to hear how you make your sounds. Do you sing? Do you play an instrument? Do you, some people are appreciators. They do not play or sing themselves, but they appreciate the music and the song of others. What music is your sound? What makes your heart sing? I'd love to hear from you.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on. It's time always goes too quickly on our show, but I learned a great deal, and it just, I feel calm and I feel centered, and your voice is just, it sings to me, actually. So I want to thank you so much for coming on. I know my listeners learned something they probably didn't even know. And I think everybody should delve into this, because it's what's going to make us all whole. It's not going to be somebody doing it for us. It's going to be doing it for ourselves. And I think what you do is really phenomenal, and you really give people empowerment. And that's what the show's about.
Thank you for the good work you do, Dr. Elena.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'd love to have you back on, and I'm going to go right to your website and listen to these, or I should say, look at these visual representations of sound, because there's so many ways to connect. Not everything works for everybody, but I think with the way you approach it, there is something for everybody. So thanks again for everything you do. It was a pleasure having you on, and I hope you have a really a blessed day.
Thank you so much. God bless you too.
And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.